blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 11, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O Jehovah, hear my words, to my thoughts attentive be. Hear my cry, my King, my God, I will make my prayer to thee. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 11.
Thank you. scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, there of the third chapter, the first 21 verses. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of this earth, we are living upon thy footstool. When thou sittest upon thy throne, all things in thy hands, all under thy government, and thou hast spared each and every one of us through another year that has quickly gone by, and brought us now to the last service, to the last hours of this year. And then it is a moment that we are called to look behind us. And what can and ought we to do but to be ashamed before thee for we have thought so little of thee, and thou hast thought so much upon us. For thy provision has been so very great. Each moment is sparing us and upholding us and continuing us in our being, in our life, to give us breath and to give us life, to give us strength, and also to provide for all of our needs. For thou art not only our Creator, but thou hast shown thyself also to be our provider and a benefactor, pouring upon us blessings that are so undeserved from our side. Blessings that we see, but more that we do not see, that we take so for granted. But thou knowest them all, and what is necessary that we may be able to continue in the midst of this world. But Lord, thou knowest our flesh and the weakness thereof, especially after that we have fallen away and we have turned away from thee. Oh, that thou may give to us in this evening a little meditation upon all thy great goodness, that it may pass before our eyes, that our hearts may be broken in these moments, in this hour, and when we may feel something of our own wretchedness, our own sinfulness, our own ingratitude, that we may learn to smite upon our breast before thee and to confess who and what we are in thy most holy sight. But thou knowest also the needs that thou hast provided for thy people, and those who may look back upon thy provision, for how glad, and that thy people may be, those who have sought thee, those who to whom thou hast given blessings out of thy heavenly store. In the year that is gone by, then it can be so quiet in our midst that we hear not of those things. But it can also be in the life of thy own people, and that they do not even see or appreciate what thou dost give unto them in the upholding of that spiritual life. For there is much mourning. There is so much that mourns because of thy absence, of their own iniquity, and that mourning that is a blessing, because when we had no tear over this, then our death state would be evident. And thou knowest then where those heavy hearts are and have been in the year that is gone by. But Lord, they cannot do with a heavy heart. They need also a deliverance. They desire thy presence. They desire thy nearness. And it will be also in that great day to which we are approaching, and that they will need that thou wouldst be near unto them. How many fears that do live in the heart of thy children, and that in the day of their death, when they will have to approach unto that Jordan, that they will be forsaken, and that it shall prove to be a work that is their own, and that was never of thee. Lord, that thou may provide for each and every one of thy people. And wilt thou thyself come also in this evening? For we have one more opportunity, and we may be together round about thy holy word. May it be not only out of custom, it is a good custom, but may it be with an urgent need and desire in our heart. And when we must say that we have missed it all the year long, O Lord, could it yet be for me in this evening hour? A new birth, a new life, the life of thy people, a holy jealousy, a desire that does not live in me, a quickening from the dead, the forgiveness of all of my iniquity, the drawing near unto the true and the living God, a little opening in the mysteries of thy word, a little token of thy favor and of thy blessing, a little shining of thy face, a little speaking of a word behind me, this is the way, walk ye therein. O Lord, that thou mayest hear the needy when they cry, and that thou may look upon us as a congregation, whom thou hast supplied for, and also as a nation. For thou hast not dealt with us according to our many sins. But thou knowest how that our sins do rise up more and more against thee, so that we do beg thee, as it were, for thy judgments to come, and to punish us as thou hast punished the first world, and as thou hast punished a Sodom and Gomorrah, and for the sins that did cry unto heaven. O Lord, remember us in thy mercy. Give men to turn again to thee, and draw us that we might run after thee. Wilt thou care for all those that have special needs? For there are those who do mourn the losses of loved ones in our midst, family members. And there are other family members. Some are very sick. Others have had accidents. Lord, thou knowest the needs of each one, which can be so many. And wilt thou provide as time does draw closer and closer to its end? For man goeth unto his long home, and the mourners, they will go about the streets. And one generation passes away, and another generation cometh, that we may take heed to thy holy word, and that we may be given to understand what our life is, and the importance of the need of our souls, that our eyes may go opened, that our hearts may go opened, that thy word may be quick and powerful as a sharp two-edged sword. Could it be yet in this last service of this year? Oh, and one more opportunity is given to us to bring thy word. Lord, strengthen us for the labor of our hands this night. Oh, give to us that urgency that is due unto the need of the souls of men traveling to a great and a never-ending eternity, and that we may be given to hasten one another onward, to seek the one thing that is needful, and that we be not caught unprepared as standing before thy great white throne. Be with us then in this night. Remember all that are not able to gather with us, that may be listening by church telephone. Bless them also in their place. Make it a little sanctuary. Glorify thy name. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 245, stanzas 2 through 5. At thy command, man fades and dies, and newborn generations rise. 1,000 years are passed away, and all to thee are but a day. Yea, like the watches of the night, with thee the ages wing their flight. 2 through 5 of Psalter 245. Thank you. Beloved congregation, time is like an ever-rolling stream. It was created by God, and ever since it was created, it has never ceased. It continues, and it continues. It never pauses. It never waits for a man, although sometimes if we think we would like to stop it, just perhaps for a little while. Time has had a beginning. Time will one day also come to an end. But that time we sometimes sing, that is like an ever-rolling stream, and that is also bearing its sons away, then one after the other, and then it is felt by persons when they are in this life that they are not able to stop that ever-rolling stream, that they are not able to preserve their life for a moment, that there is no discharge in that war. Boys and girls, we know that the sun and the moon have also been made by the Lord to be rulers over time. That is, the Lord has made divisions in the time. He said that there should be a day and a night. And he has divided the time into weeks and months and years and so on. And the sun and moon, as God's creation, do continue to rule over time and for mankind. The end of a day is very common. We experience that every night. But how important that it is. Do you ever lay in bed and consider to yourself that that day now has gone by? And to think what time that has been given to you in that day, and what it just means precisely that that day is now done, and that day that is never coming back again. Because the end of a day that is pointing also to the end of our life. It is pointing also to the end of all time. And if that is so at the end of a day, then it is also more so at the end of a week or a month or a year. And that the Lord is giving to men, because we read with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are as one day. But the Lord gives to us consideration about time and what time does mean, the importance of time for man. Where will that be when it comes to an end? Because there was a time, or we should say there was an eternity when there was no time. That is, from eternity. Then there was only God. Then there was only His being. And now after God has made all things, and when time will come to an end, then there will also only be being. Then there will be a state. And then every one of us will have entered into a state, an eternal state. Time, that is a very precious gift. And time is one of those gifts that are given to us, that when we lose it, when it is all gone, that is something that we can never, ever get back again. You will feel that at the end of the day, if you are a thinking person, a thoughtful person, if you are a considering person, to think back on a day, to think back on a year now, and to say that is another year of my life. And that year of my life is spent. And that year of my life is never going to come back again. And now what have I done? And with that great gift that the Lord has given unto me, because the Lord Jesus told of a man who had so many gifts in this world, so many provisions from the Lord. He was a rich man. Maybe we have many provisions too from the Lord. And when time was done, then he was wishing that he could do something that he could not do anymore. And what was that? He was wishing that he could go and warn his brothers. He had five brothers. And then he was wishing that he could go warn them, to speak a word to them, that they would not come into that place of judgment that he was now in. Oh, he had so many opportunities in his life to do that. But he never did that. And why not? Because he did not feel the need. He did not feel the urgency in the time. And now what did the Lord say to him? He said, it is too late. It is too late. Oh, there is a time coming that is too late. Do we believe that? But the Lord did say to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. We have them too, do we not? We can read Moses, the five books of Moses. And we can read all the prophets. You know what they are, young people? You say, we have more than that. Yeah, we have more than that. What is that? That we have even more than they had. That is the gospel. The gospel. And thus, if Moses and the prophets would have testified against them, how will also the gospel testify against us? Oh, let us hear what it has to say to us in this evening hour from the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, John 3. And there are verses 17 and 18. John 3, verses 17 and 18. And then we hope to include in the explanation in the last part of verse 16, where we left off, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So far, the words of our text. God's purpose in sending his Son into the world. First, what that purpose was. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So what his purpose was. Second, the fulfillment of that purpose. He that believeth on him is not condemned, But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, the fulfillment of that purpose. God's purpose in the sending of his Son into the world, first, what that purpose was, and second, the fulfillment of that purpose. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. What does that mean, to condemn? Who condemns, boys and girls? Say, that is a judge. That is a judge. When your father condemns what you do, then he is actually acting the part of a judge, or your mother, or your teacher. And that is what a judge does. And who gave a judge his place, or your mother or your father their place? That is the Lord. And they have to make judgments. Especially a judge in this world, he has to answer to God for the place that God has given to him. He has obligations. And he has to make righteous judgments. He has to condemn. He has to condemn all evil and punish evil. That is what we have to do also, fathers and mothers. But we are not judges. We are also fathers and mothers. That's not what a judge is. So thus we have different offices. But a judge, he must condemn and he must also acquit. Now the last day of the year, that points us also to the last day of our life. That points us to the last day of this world. In the last day of our life, that we will stand before our judge in our soul, not yet in our body, if we are buried, if we die before the judgment day, but in that judgment day when our body rises from the dead, then we will stand before our judge both in body and in soul. What do you think of that day? What does that day speak about? That speaks about the accountability of man. We must all appear, Paul says, before the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things that we have done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And we shall stand there. You know that, and I know that. How do we know that? Because we have guilt. And that guilt is not only when we have a friend or someone in this world and they know what we have done, but there is also guilt in us when there is no one in the whole world that knows our sin. And we feel guilt. Guilt. How can that be? Well, because we know that there is a God. We may not want to say that. We may want to say that we are an atheist. But still we feel guilt. So how can we feel guilt if we say we are an atheist? That does not go together. Thus, there is no atheist. That is nothing but a wish that there was no God. But every man knows that he has guilt, and at the end of his life, then he will have to give an answer to God. He is our Creator. We have to give an answer for how he has created us with the gifts that he has given to us. How do we use them? What do we use them for? We have to give an answer to him for all the provision that he has given to us. Every moment in this past year, he has given to us sufficient strength to live, to breathe, our heart still to beat. We cannot keep that beating. The Lord has kept it beating. And what have we done as the Lord kept our heart beating? And as the Lord has kept our liver working and our kidneys working and so on? when He has upheld us every moment, and when He was growing for us our food and our drink, then what were we giving, doing if with the time and the gifts that He gave to us? All this we have to give an account to Him for. And when we are standing before His judgment, there is a judgment that is going to be committed, we read in God's Word, unto the Son. The Father, He has committed all the judgment unto the Son. He did not come in His first incarnation. He did not come into the world to judge. No, He said, I come not to judge the world, but I came to save the world. But in the second coming, He is coming to judge the world. And how will that be? We read in the Bible that every eye is going to see Him. Also those that pierced Him. And that all the kindreds of the earth are going to wail because of Him. Oh, what a wailing that there is going to be in the world at the second coming of the King. And when He comes not in His humiliation, but when He comes in His exaltation, oh, then not everyone will be wailing. Not each and every person in the world will be wailing. No. No, there will also be some who are looking up and who are waiting and who will be so glad at His coming because their redemption draweth nigh. Or He will appear visibly. He will appear physically. He will appear in His human nature. Oh, what a testimony that that is going to be against the wicked when He is appearing on the clouds of heaven in our nature, that human nature. And then He is going to judge. And a judge, the sentence of a judge, that is two ways. One of two ways, not three ways. Two ways. What does a judge say when there is someone who has been accused and has been standing before his bar? Then in the end, he makes a judgment and he says that either you are guilty or you are innocent. Thus he says, either I condemn you or I acquit you. That is not only a judge in this world, but that is now the judge of heaven and of earth. Those are the two judgments that are going to come upon each and every one of us, both young and old, no one of us excluded. It is either the one or it is the other. What do we think? How would that be for us this day? If the Lord would appear this night in the clouds of heaven, and we have to stand all before Him, how would it be for us in a personal way? Which way is that judgment going to go? What is He going to declare, that Son of Man in our own nature? What is He going to say of you? What is He going to say of me? Should not we be concerned about this? Or is this not something that we put so far away from us? But it is something, if the Lord converts us, that we do not put away from us anymore. No, if the Lord gives us a new life, then this judgment is so often continually before our eyes. Why? Because in regeneration, boys and girls, the Lord gives what? Faith. That is right. We say it over and over again. Faith. that begins through faith in regeneration. And then we begin to believe, because believing is the activity of faith. And then what do we believe? The Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? And what does that Word of God say? It says, "Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Did you ever believe that? That judge is standing before the door. Do you know what you see then? You see that my life, that is so very, very short. That even if I am young, only 5 or 10 or 15 years old, then you say, I soon have to die. And you believe that word. Because David, he says, our life is like a handbreadth. It is only that wide. And I read in God's word that James, he says, it is like a vapor. It comes and then it is gone. And we read that the Apostle Paul, he says that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Thus, what greater concern ought we to have in our short life than the judgment? And how that judgment is now going to go. Especially when we feel our guilt. Do we ever feel that we cannot stand before God? Because we read that too in the Word of God. Job, he says, how then should man be just with God? Because if God would contend with us, we cannot answer him one of a thousand. Thousand questions when he will begin to question us about our life. What do you think he is going to ask about your life? You know what he is going to ask? He is going to go back to the creation. He is going to say to us, I created you in my image. When I made you, I saw something of myself in you, a reflection, as it were, of myself, the image of God. I saw in you knowledge of God, righteousness, holiness, separated I made you. Where is that now? Where is that in your life? I don't see that in your life. Or how is it when the Lord begins to ask us, when you have heard that all your life, the way that you ought to walk in the midst of this world. And when I have sent my only begotten Son, and he has walked before you in this sin-cursed world, and when he has said, follow me, when he has set an example before you, how that you ought to walk, and then how is your life? What are you going to say? Does it look anything like the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who despised this world? Who despised it? Who said, I have meat to eat that ye know not of, because my meat is to do the will of my Father which hath sent me, and to finish his work. Oh, what were you made for? To do your own pleasure? And your life now, what did you use that for? You use that for your own pleasure? Oh, God is going to judge us. And then our mouth is going to go what? It is going to go silent. Because we are not going to have an answer for the Lord. And now we have heard a little bit last time, verse 16, that speaks about perishing. that they, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And what does it mean to perish? That is now the consequence. That is what comes after being condemned by our judge. Thus, when the sentence of condemnation is carried out, then a man perishes. That means he is lost. That means he is ruined. We read a few things in the Bible about what that means to perish. The Lord describes it as it were. What does he say to Nicodemus? He says, I've spoken to you earthly things. What does that mean? I've used earthly examples for you. I've tried to lay it out for you in examples that you can understand. And if you do not believe me when I speak to you about earthly things, how could you believe if I spoke to you about heavenly things? And so the Lord, he speaks to us about these earthly things. Also about what it means to perish. Why? That we may a little understand what it means to perish. Or how then can the Lord describe it to us, as it were in our earthly and carnal language, what it means for a person to perish? Oh, we read a few things about that in God's Word. We read that it is a worm that dieth not. And it is a fire that is not quenched. What is a worm? You know what a worm is. Right, boys and girls? I'll ask you another question. You know what a worm is in your conscience? In your conscience, and your conscience says to you, you have done wrong, you need to go there and you need to make an apology to this person or to that person. Your conscience. You do not do it. You say, no, I do not want to do that. And tomorrow, I come back again. You push it away. Next week it comes back again, and it comes more often, and it does not go away, and it is like a worm. And that worm that can make you so exhausted, and finally you say, now I go, now I go. And you get such a relief. When that man, when that woman, they say, man, I forgive you. And then you go, such a relief from that worm. And now the Lord speaks about what it means to perish. To perish. It says that it is a worm that never dies. You can never, never in all eternity get rid of that worm. Oh, how we need to make it well with one another before we die. The Lord, he speaks about a lake that is burning with fire and brimstone. Children, do you put your finger in the fire? No, not a single finger do you put in the fire. Oh, the Lord speaks about that perishing. He says that is like a lake of fire. To be immersed in that fire, and that it is also brimstone. Well, my father-in-law, he spoke about that years ago. He said we had to put that in the house, they fumigate the house at one time for some reason. Brimstone. He said that was choking. You could not come near to that brimstone. Thus, that is a lake. How does the Lord describe that perishing in his word? In order that man, he may be driven as it were, to flee for his life. The Lord, he calls it an outer darkness. He says there shall be weeping there. There shall be a gnashing of teeth. Calls it a bottomless pit. A pit wherein a man, there is no bottom. Always going deeper and deeper and deeper into that pit. More and more impossible every time again to come out of that pit. Out of which there is proceeding a great smoke as of a great furnace. Oh, John, in the book of Revelations, he speaks about the locusts. And they have tails, he says, the tails of scorpions. And they have stings in their tails. And he says that over these locusts is a king. And that king is whom? That king is Apollyon. Oh, how is that described? That perishing, what that means to perish. It is as if it defies all the human language. The worst things that a man can say in the midst of this world. Then the human language, all the earthly things, they are not to be compared with the things that will be experienced all together. Oh, the devils themselves, they so fear. Oh, they have besought the Lord Jesus. Do not send us away before the time. Oh, it is not time yet. Do not yet send us out into the deep. Because they knew a little of what that means to perish. Oh, that is not to be annihilated. No, that is to begin to perish and never to end. That is always at the beginning. When we perish, then a man will seek death, but he shall not be able to find it. He shall desire to die, the Bible says, and death shall flee from him. That means there is no escaping. Oh, we can try to escape. A man tries to escape in this world. He says, I am in pain. I want to escape that pain. And to escape that pain, I will take my own life. Oh, doctor, can you give me some medication? Oh, so that I will just slip away, as it were. And then, oh, how long will eternity be when it is always just a beginning of pain, of suffering? Is God absent there or is he present? He is both. He is absent with all his relief. But we read in the Word of God, there is not there balm in Gilead? There is no balm when we perish. He is absent with all his general goodness that he gives to all the men in this world. He is absent with all his good provision, with all his kindness. And he is present in his wrath. And he is present in the hotness of his indignation. And that when a man suffers, it is not only in the body, but it is also in his soul. Oh, we spoke about that worm. Oh, an eternal remorse for all that he has received in this life and that he has not given it back unto the Lord. An eternal despondency, an eternal despair, a despair, a despair, a despair, never, ever, ever to come out of only the beginning of perishing. And once that sentence is now carried out, that is never taken back again. Isaac,
Esau, he is before him. Oh, he is on his knees, pleading with his father. Pleading with him. Oh, Father, bless me also. Wilt thou change thy mind toward me? And he could find no place of repentance in his father. His father did not repent. His father did not change his mind. Even though Esau, he has sought it carefully with tears. Oh, if Isaac was not to change his mind toward his son, his own son, or is the Lord going to change his mind unto his creature? No place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Oh, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. But how just would it now be if God had sent his son into the world to condemn the world? Because the world that is so worthy to be condemned, would that not be just? Oh, just look around you once. Just look around us and see how the world has turned its back to God. And more in our days. So that the world is making itself ripe for judgment. Or would it have not been so just when man had, when Adam had sinned against God, that God had said, I will send my son and he will condemn this whole world because they have sinned against me. But we don't have to go to the world. We can look at ourselves. How just would that be? Because when the Lord comes and he makes a judgment on us, then what will we be able to say? That we are above the world? The world has not heard of him. Their mothers and their fathers, boys and girls, they gave him a Christmas tree and they gave them some presents. And now all that joy, what is happening? You know what they are experiencing? Oh, that it does not make you happy. It does not make you happy. Nothing in this world can make you happy. Oh, they have not heard what can make you happy. They have not heard of an only comfort in life and in death. And so you have received so much more than all those other children. Who is then more guilty? We or they? Oh, we have so much more to answer for than the world has to answer for. Peter says it had been better not to know the way of salvation than after that we have known it to turn away from that holy commandment. How just that it would have been for God to send his son into the world to condemn the world. Do you ever feel that? You say, to condemn me for my own sin. Does that ever bring you in the dust of self-abasement? Because if it does, if it has, then there is a place. Oh, there is such a tender place in your heart for this word of the Lord. That the Lord, he says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Did that now ever become a wonder to you? That he was not sent into the world to condemn the world? Thus the Lord reveals the purpose of sending his son into the world. He does not reveal all his purposes. There are many of his purposes that remain a mystery to us. We say, why did he do this or why did he do that? We don't know. And the Lord doesn't tell us either, and he doesn't have to tell us because he is God. But this he tells us. And he tells it especially for those people. For what kind of people? He tells it for those people who deserve to perish. Oh, he tells it for those people who are ready to perish. He tells it for those people who believe that they are going to perish. Oh, he tells it for those people who think that it will be forever and forever for me, an eternal, eternal perishing, or a condemnation, that is what they are, that is what they feel to be, and they fear to be forever and forever condemned. And then to hear from the mouth of Christ, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Oh, then they see something. Then something is revealed to them that is so new. Something that they have never seen before. And that brings them into a whole new world. But let us sing first. 139, 2 through 6, 139, from Zion, his abode, where perfect beauty dwells, the Lord his glory has displayed in brightness that excels. Let's just sing three verses, 2, 3, and 4, 2, 3, and 4 of 139. But that the world through him might be saved. That is the purpose of God in sending His Son into the world. And what does the Lord do? The Lord fulfills His purpose always. Always. In every one of His own children. What does it say? Through Him. That is now what the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to His children. Through Him. Through Him. Well, that needs to be revealed. Why does it need to be revealed? Because He is so hidden. Do you believe that? You say it is all over the Word of God. From Genesis 3 verse 15 all the way to the book of Revelation. Then we read of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is true. That is true. Read the next chapter of John. Then he speaks about the Samaritan woman. Could she see him? Oh, he was standing right before her. She did not know who that he was. And he was working in her. What was he doing? Oh, he was busy doing what he always does. He was uncovering. Go call thy husband and come hither. I have no husband. I have no husband. Oh, how much is in that? Those few words, I have no husband. What do you cover there, woman? I have no husband. You think the Lord does not know that? Thou hast well said, I have no husband, because thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. Uncovering, exposing. Did he do that ever in your life? Your guilt, your sin. You know what she said? She said, she went back to her kindred. She said, come, I will show you a man who told me all things that ever I did. Do you think that is true, boys and girls? You think that is true? Do you think he mentioned it all? Don't think so. Don't think he said it all. But that is what she felt. Oh, then he put his finger on the sore. And he opened up her entire life. And then she said, is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? Yeah, she knew what Christ would do. She knew that he would expose. And yet, when she stood before him, she did not realize what he was doing to her. He did not know that he was the Christ. Why not? She said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. Well, woman, do you not see? No, she cannot see it. Why? It is covered. Covered. When she experiences her guilt, and when the Spirit of the Lord is opening that guilt in the life of His people, and they cannot see Christ, then they do not know who He is until He reveals Himself. Until he says, I that speak unto thee am he. And then they see him. Then they see him. Then they see him immediately. And now we read, through him. And that is just what God's people, God's true people, who are exposed by the Spirit of the Lord, that they cannot see through him. Until the Lord opens their poor, guilty, blind eyes. When they are at the point of what? Of perishing. But that the world, through him, might be saved. Saved. Might be. might be rescued. From what? From perishing? Can I yet be rescued from perishing? Then you know, then that people, they are delivered like a bird out of the snare of the fowler. Oh, through him. Oh, then they see him. He is the one. Oh, that I can be saved from perishing through, because God has sent his Son into the world. And then for a moment, by faith, they may behold him. That is Christmas Day. That is Christmas Day, when they may see him for that first time, and when they may see that it is so possible also for me. Also for me. Because he has come to save those who are perishing. And who is now perishing? I am perishing. There, he has come to save them from condemnation. And who is condemned? I am condemned. Oh, you feel the suitability when the Lord is revealing his Son. Then it is not just written in the Word to the whole world. No, read the catechism. And then it says, not only to others, but also to me. Oh, what a day, boys and girls, of joy. What a day of gladness for that. You say, is it all done for those people? No, it's not all done yet for those people. They do not have it yet. They have not the assurance. No, but it only becomes possible. Oh, they thought to perish. They thought forever and forever to be condemned. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, not through you, not through me, no, but through him might be saved. You think Nicodemus saw it? What do you think? Because that was a man. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee. But there's something there, right? There's something working, that Spirit of the Lord, and he cannot come out with it yet, and he does not dare to come against the other Pharisees yet. He comes at night. At night, you ever go to the Lord at night, boys and girls? You say, maybe I don't want father and mother to know, but I go to the Lord at night. Because there was in him something of that Spirit of the Lord working. Did the Lord show him in that moment who he was? We don't know. But the Lord did show him eventually, because it has to be. Remember? Then it is not that we have to have the assurance. That is a great blessing. That ought to be sought, people of the Lord. But Christmas, Christmas. We need to know what Christmas is in our life, in order to live in comfort, but also to die in peace. He that believeth on him is not condemned, the Lord Jesus says. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God. He that believeth on him. Oh, how does that happen, that a person may believe on him? Oh, then it has to become for the people impossible. Did it ever become for you impossible? Why? Because we heard about that, right? We spoke about faith that has to assent, it has to agree. And faith does not agree. Faith will not agree until we cannot anymore, until our strength is gone, until our righteousness is gone, until our wisdom is gone, until our holiness is gone, until everything is gone. And when we lie helpless in that pit of our own misery, in our own stink, in our own filthiness, in our own pollution, and then to hear that God has sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, then we agree. Then we agree. And blessed agreement. He that believeth on him is not condemned. The word of Christ himself. Do you know what he knows? He knows everyone that has ever believed on him. Ever. Who have ever for one moment looked upon him. Do you know what he also knows? That they desire to see him again. That they desire to believe on him again. To believe on him again. You know what he also knows? That they cannot believe on him whenever that they want to believe on him. He knows that too. And why do they desire to believe on him again and again and again? Because it was so good to believe on him. Because it is so sweet to believe on him. Because that is more than all that can be received in the world. All one moment to believe on him. And why is that so sweet? Because there is in that moment rest. 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 You see, the people are on the bottom of the pit. They are not delivered yet out of that pit. How can they ever receive a moment's rest in the bottom of that pit? How is it possible? Well, what is faith? Well, we said knowledge, assent, and trust. Trust. And for a moment, when he shows himself to the people, and why that he has come into the world, why the Father has sent him into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, that condemned people. And when they may feel and know themselves to be condemned, and then when they may hear his purpose, or for a moment, then they may trust. Then they may say, he will do it too. He will do it too. And for a moment they may rest, and they may feel a peace, while they are yet in the bottom, we would say, of their own misery. Oh, faith, faith. How blessed a moment's faith is to God's people. Remember that we are not speaking here about a people who are already delivered. No, we are speaking here of people that are still in the warfare, that are still in the midst of this life. How is it possible to have rest for a moment that is only by trust in that promise? And that now is an element. It is a precious element, an aspect of that true saving faith. He that believeth on him. Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? For one moment to agree. For one moment to trust. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Does not say, will not be condemned. It says he is not condemned. Thus that faith that is for that people, that is an evidence that they are not condemned. That is the beginnings of the enjoyment already in this life of the deliverance from sin. What does Christ say? He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, then he does not only deliver them from the greatest misery of sin and all its consequences, but he brings them unto the highest good. Oh, there is nothing that is worthy in this whole world of being called life, everlasting life. What can we call life? What would you call life? There are people, they say, I go on vacation here, vacation there. They say, that is now the life. Is that so? Or do you come back from there so empty as you went? Oh, one person says, that is the life. That person says, that is life. Oh, here, in the word of the Lord, we hear what life is. Do you know what life is? Oh, to have one moment of faith, of true saving faith. That is the beginning of life and the beginning of the experience of life. And it is a life that is everlasting. Everlasting. Oh, when Christian went through that gate, that is Christmas. And he went through that wicked gate, and you never come back. You never come back out of that gate. Once you are through, many questions, many riddles in the heart of the people. But once they are through that gate, and once they have believed in him, and once they may experience what that is, the Lord says there is for that people, despite all their doubting, despite all their questions, there is no condemnation. Why? Oh, Christ, he is born here. He is born here. And you know, Paul says, he that hath the Son hath life. And we can die in this world, but the Lord's people, that new life does not die, never dies. No, they will persevere in that life forever and forever. And now they have it. Oh, they have it. That is not in their own estimation. I know. Oh, then they are looking. When it is right, they are looking. Is it right with me? Oh, they want to hear his voice again. They want to see him again. They want the assurance that is so natural, and it ought to be that way. And that is what they need to seek for. But, oh, the Lord declares it himself in his word, that they are now not condemned. Life, it says, everlasting. Oh, now you say, what is that? Life everlasting. I cannot say so much of what that is. We need to find that out ourselves. What that shall be. Life everlasting. It is experienced here already, in the beginning. And that is so good, and that is so sweet. But what will that now be? When that life is perfected in eternity, oh, there are not words in the Bible to say what it means to, in the human language to say what it means to perish. It is as it were a grappling for words. Oh, how much more is it able to be said, I hath not seen nor ear heard what the Lord has laid away for them that fear him. Oh, we read of that new Jerusalem a little bit. Oh, we read of that place, that it has the glory of God, a place of pure gold, just as crystal. Doesn't need the sun. No, the glory of God that is shining in that place. There's light in that place. And we read that the light there, that is just like the light in a reflection of a jasper stone. Oh, the Bible talks about the blessed people, how they are called out of tribulation into that place. And there, out of that great tribulation, they are called unto that marriage supper of the Lamb. Tears, no. There will be no tears there anymore. But the Lord, He will wipe all those tears away. Neither shall there be any more pain. Neither shall there be any more suffering. For all those former things, they are going to be passed away for that people. And then sin, the Bible says. Oh, sin, that great enemy of that people that is going to have no place in that life everlasting. And then the redeemed, the scriptures say, will be gathered around that throne. And the Bible says, they began to be merry. They began. That is what it will be. A beginning. Just a beginning. And always a beginning. It will never get past a beginning. A beginning of a rejoicing and of a singing. That song of Moses and the Lamb. O congregation, we come to the end of the year. The end of the year. Oh, what shall it be when we come to the end of our life? How is it now? How is it? You look back on this year. You look back on your life. And what have we done with it? Have we sought this? Is this now what our whole life was about? We have to die. We have to appear before God. We have to stand at that judgment seat. No answer will we be able to give but the Lord Jesus Himself. He says that those who have believed on Him, they are not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already. Oh, there is a sentence that is lying on us. We are born with that. It is a sentence of condemnation. We are born into a cursed race of our father Adam. They are condemned already. And what is now between us and that pit? What is now between us and that pit? Just a thread of our life. How easy that thread can be cut. Just in a moment, we are so frail. Little disease, little accident, then he's gone. And then where? Oh, eternity, eternity, eternity. Congregation, seek for regeneration, true faith that flows out of regeneration. The Lord Jesus says we must be born again. Pliable began. He came out, said, a man is faith. Oh, he never made it to the wicket gate. Never made it to the wicket gate. And those who never make it to the wicket gate are those who have never believed on Him. And when we have never believed on Him, it has never become Christmas in our life. And when we have never believed on Him, then we are condemned already. It is late. It is late. Why? Because you are old. Some of you are old. Then it is very late. But our life is short, very short. The thief, he believed on Him. He believed on Him. It was late for him, but it was not too late. It was not too late. And the Lord revealed Himself when He confessed and when He said, we deserve justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man, he had done nothing amiss. Oh, it was late, but it was not too late. Congregation, the Lord give that to us. each and every one of us, that we may not perish, but that we might have everlasting life, because God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we stand and we sit. We have a soul, and we are going, each one of us, to our end. O Lord, bind. O we beseech thee, bind thy word upon our hearts as we come to the last hours of this year, that we might see something of the great importance, that we may receive the quickening of thy Holy Spirit, not merely a few emotions, but may it be a true regeneration that might see I am condemned. Lord, save me. I perish. Be with us in this night. Bring us home. Bring us safely and with desire to thy house upon thy day. Help all that take the active part. Bless thy word. Be in our midst. Forgive our sins undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422:5-8. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. With steadfast step they walk, their countenances beaming with brightness of the light that from thy face is streaming. And what follows? 5 and 8 of 422. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Bless you.